folk don't know you here, so if you could share with us a bit about who you are, where you're from, family, these kinds of things.
Okay. Thanks for the invite. We really do appreciate it, and thanks for putting me in to pass it on. My name's Pat Warrior Reed. I'm a Ngadjeri woman, and I've got associations to Kaurna and to Ngadjeri. Now, I'm a grandmother. I've got 10 great-grannies, and I've got 4 children. I grew up on Point Pierce Mission on York Peninsula. They were my best years of my life, and I really enjoyed my time there, doing the old Nunga stuff, as we say. So it was great. And then, sorry to disappoint you all, Foz, I moved into Adelaide. I then got into school at 14, 11 actually, but left it when I was 14 because the education department in them days weren't very friendly to Aboriginal people and Aboriginal children, so we never stayed. I never stayed. I got married. I lived in Port Adelaide for a number of years, and then I moved up to Port Augusta. I think I must mention the most important thing of my life, though, is that I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, I didn't meet him in Australia. I met him in PNG. And it was wonderful because I always had this thing about them and us in Australia. That's how I felt. And yet when I went to PNG, there was no them and us. There was only a very small minority of white people in the community. So there was no them and us for me. And I learned that God was a gracious God. And he took me through a lot of things. And as part of the program there, we had to do work in the community, in our little compound where we were. And I had to laugh at this because all my life I have this thing about white missionaries, all right? And because for me, they didn't seem to look at where the want was, where the need was, which was in their own country. And so I gets over there, and the first thing that my father did for me was tell me I had to go and clean, guess what, white missionary's house the best I can. And so the wonderful thing about it all is that you learn how great God is. And you learn, if you learn to give up those things that want to bind you through your life, I don't think that we will never get anywhere. Because separation from God in our community means that we have to do something about changing it for the world. And if we don't, I think we can live in this fog that doesn't include and not inclusive of everyone. And so for me, that was the main thing I learned in my life. And that's my goal is to include everybody in this journey with God. And if we don't, I think we fall short of the mark as Christians.
What? This is a very passionate woman, by the way. That's for sure. You started to hint at this. Next week, or the week after next, is NAIDOC week, and I suspect for us as a church, understanding Indigenous Australians and these kinds of things as a church would probably be a new journey for us. What would you say to us in terms of how to encourage us to understand Indigenous Australians and grow in relationship? I mean, we've got your church, and it'd be great to connect more there. But what other encouragements might you give us?
I think the first encouragement I'd like to say is that don't be afraid to approach us. Because I think people think, how do I get to know an Aboriginal person? And sometimes they're a bit afraid to step out. The thing is that you step out and you trust in God that relationship that you have with other people in this community that we have, especially with Aboriginal people, is have you have faith to step out and connect with us. And the other thing is that you need to have an appreciation that we are the original owners of this country. You need to appreciate that. And that what we gave up when you took our country, you need to have appreciation of that as well. It's really important for you to understand the loss that we had. And so the thing is, for me, I dwelled on that for a very long time. And it's something that we need as a nation to work towards making that amends. Not for me to make the amends, but for the wider Australian to make that amends. To need to step out and trust in God that we will build this bridge together. And if we don't, well, the wider Australian needs to actually have a look at that. Because if we don't, how can we ever build a pathway to God with love and with the things that we need to build together? So, yeah.
You folk probably don't realise, so the Kaurna people, original owners of the land that this church is on, do not today have a single parcel of land in their name. That's a deep wrong. If you don't read the Link articles normally, have a read of the one today. Because you'll understand where and why I have a heart for this as well. What are your hopes? What are your hopes, just to finish off?
Okay. Oh, I've got huge hope. But the most important thing I want, I think, is that we love God. That's my hope. And loving God means that we have to be acceptable of each other. And not just accepting, but loving each other. And that's a commitment. And so that's my hope. When I deal with, I work in the prisons, and when I deal with the magistrates, the lawyers, and all the people of authority, I have to find love in my heart because they're dealing with my people in such a different way. So for me, hope is that we build a bridge together. And not that you stay on your side and I stay on my side. It's actually that we walk it together. And the things in the past, they're never going to go away. We always will want our land. We always will want recognition because that's what NAIDOC's about. It's about showing the different people in Australia who we are, what we are and what we stand for. And that's really important for the general public in Australia to understand that. And there is a lot of discernment amongst us all. But I think my hope is that we trust in God and let him lead us in his love. And that's what I hope for. And I hope the churches, all of the white churches that we have in this country, acknowledge, just like you did, that it's on Kaurna land. And that's one of the biggest things that churches should do, is acknowledge that every church that's built on this country is on Kaurna land. That's a step A. Yeah? Yeah. So thank you, love.
Just going to pray. Let's pray together. Thank you, Fani Pat, and thank you for the great grace of God that's been given her. The kind of grace that has helped, as she shared with me before, helped all that the hurt and the bitterness be taken to the cross of Jesus, and has filled her heart with such love that she's able to do two things, which is speak truth in love. And Lord, we don't want to take that for granted, because it's not just her, but it's we're talking generations of hurt. And then we're talking about the reality that her and leaders at the Aboriginal Berean Church deal with. So we're just grateful for your work in her. I pray, Lord, that you might do that same work across our nation. You might do that work in our hearts too. We do believe, Jesus, you have enough in the cross to reconcile us all. You have a lot of hope that these nations, these tribes, these tongues can come together under your lordship. And in fact, we will be so come glory. We would pray in your prayer, Jesus. May your kingdom come, may your will be done, even now on earth as it is in heaven. This we ask in your name. Amen.
Allowing me to come and speak at your church. The thing I keep thinking about is, you know, the wonderful things God does for us. And I often think about my own life and the journey of my own life and all the struggles and all the things that I went through. And And sometimes, you know, we think that we are so unworthy before God. But the wonderful thing about God is when he considers you faithful to do his work, he will do some amazing things. He will do some amazing things in your life. You know, the Lord's Prayer, and I just want to acknowledge that that prayer was said in the language of the Kaurna people. And as Pat was saying, we do need to acknowledge that this is the land of the Kaurna people, and that God in his wisdom chose the Kaurna people to be the custodians of this land. And I think it is important. I think it is important for the church, wherever it may be in this country, is to recognize that, because there's a huge amount of language groups around this country. You know, the Lord's Prayer, I conduct a lot of Aboriginal funeral services. The Lord's Prayer is said at just about all these funeral services. The families will always say to me, yes, it's okay, Pastor, to be able to pray the Lord's Prayer. The problem, though, and this is the problem, is that you have to think about this, is that sometimes when we hear things over and over and over and over again, there is a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. You know, the Lord's Prayer is an incredible prayer. And the reason is it an incredible prayer is because Jesus knew he was going. And he said to his disciples, and we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually a prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples. And when you look at those words, and I'm thanking the Lord that Jason is doing this prayer, because when you look at the depth of this prayer, it is a prayer that is so important for us in life. The words of this prayer are so important for us in life, and if we lose the strength and the meaning of these words in this prayer, then I think it's a detriment to us. I just want to mention there was a guy, it might have been last week or the week before, and you might have seen it in the news, where he was crushed by a crane. And there were some Aboriginal workers who were there, and so they wanted to do this ceremony down at Warrapringa. Warrapringa is a cultural institute, Aboriginal cultural institute. And they wanted to do a smoking ceremony, which is an Aboriginal ceremony that is done, is to cleanse out the place and bring healing and protect people from evil spirits. And they rang me up and they said, Don, we're doing a smoking ceremony, but we want a pastor to come there. We want a pastor to come and pray and put a blessing in there as well. And this is the prayer that I prayed. And you know, the amazing thing is these people don't necessarily go to church, but I could hear the little mumble, you know, of the people praying this prayer. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, the opportunities you give us. I want to encourage the church. You know, God must find a way for the church to be involved in the community. The church must not isolate itself from what's happening in our community. The church must find a way to be connected to the community. And when those opportunities come up, the church must take a hold of them. I want to read the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll go into what I believe God is wanting to share with us this morning. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 13, it reads, Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray for God to guide us through his word, but also guide us with the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us coming together. And so I pray that you lead us and guide us now. Lord, I know we're not going to listen to everything that may have been spoken about this morning, but Lord, just allow your word to imprint on our minds, on our heart, and let it stay there and let it not be stolen by anything. And so we ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a very complex system in the Aboriginal community, and it's called the kinship system. And if you look at the definition of the kinship system on the as determined by the Northern Territory Land Council, it reads, the kinship system is a feature of Aboriginal social organisation and family relationships across Central Australia. It is a complex system that determines how people relate to each other and their roles, responsibilities and obligations in relation to one another, ceremonial, business and land. The kinship system determines who marries who, ceremonial relationships, funeral roles and behaviour patterns with other kin. I had the great privilege of being able to go to Kalkarindji, and Kalkarindji is the birthplace of land rights and involved Vincent Langarry. And you might know a little song called From Big Things, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. Well, it's about that place. But there is a community a little bit further on from Kalkarindji called Lajamanu. And Lajamanu is located on the edge of the Tanami Desert. It is way out in no man's land. But we went to the church service out there, and we went to the church service. They get you to sit in a circle, and they welcomed us as visitors. And then they asked us to introduce ourselves. And this is how they did it. They said, we want to ask you two questions. First of all, what is your country? And the second thing is, what is your dreaming? I'm thinking, whoa, you know, like, okay. And then after discussion, when people answered the question, then they'd go in language and they talk in language, and you don't know what they're saying. And you could hear them sort of debating and saying, no, this one, that's one. What they were determining was determining how they would give you a skin group or skin name. And so when they would work out your skin name, then they would tell you. They would say, oh, this is your skin name. Now, mine was Jabanunka, which is the equivalent of my Noongar skin name, which is Wardangmat. Now, one of the challenges we have as Aboriginal Christians, and you would have the same challenge in any culture, Western culture, is how do you retain your Christian principles in a society that quite often challenges that? And so you have to continuously work through it. But what I did know is that they were trying to find your place in the community. They were trying to find how you could be related to everyone in that community. And so in traditional Aboriginal society, what I know is that everyone was related. Everyone was honoured. Everyone was valued. Everyone had a responsibility. Everyone was accountable. And the defining statement for me was that everyone in traditional Aboriginal society was looked after by everyone. Now I'll go to some verses in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 to 47, and this is when the early church began, and it says in Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now these verses, when I was looking at them, I was thinking about traditional Aboriginal culture, Aboriginal society. I'm thinking, Lord, there's something you're teaching me in these verses from the Bible. about the early church. And it was this. Everyone was honored. Everyone was valued. Everyone had a responsibility. Everyone was accountable. And what the Lord was saying to me is that everyone looked after everyone. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, that's going to be your challenge as a church. That really is going to be your challenge as a church. And you know, Pat mentioned our journey as Aboriginal people in this country. I believe God is wanting to do healing in this country. The church is a very important part in that. You know, if reconciliation is going to occur in this country, the place it can occur in is the church. And you know why? Because in God we are equal, and in God you and I are brothers and sisters. And if there's been a broken relationship between us, God is saying we need to heal that. Oh, it's a very hard journey. It's a very challenging journey. But we have God to help us. And I love what Pat says, you know. We have to trust in the Lord. We've got to stop. We must stop listening to all the voices that are telling us how we should think and the things that we should do. We need to start being open to what the Lord is telling us. I'm going to go on to this verse. It's always hard when you get told one part of the Lord's Prayer in these particular words. But I'm going to go back to this verse from the Lord's Prayer. And the verse that Jason has asked me to talk about is verse 11 in Matthew chapter 6. And verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And Jason, what I want to do, if it's all right, well, it's going to be all right, brother. Jason sent me some notes. And I want to honour his study that he's doing with you. And so I want to include them in mine so that at least you've got a little bit of a transition from this verse to the next verse. And the things that I picked up from Jason was the first half of the prayer is concerned with God's honour, kingdom and purpose. And only after that do our own needs find a place. Overall priority of God's will rather than our desires. It's a big challenge. It is a big challenge. You know, God's will is paramount. God's will is paramount. And I keep repeating that. We have to stop listening to what people are telling us how we should think. We have to stop listening to people telling us what we should say. We have to stop listening to people telling us what to do. We need to start listening now. We must start listening to God. And so he's the overall priorities of God's will rather than our desire. Also, there's a note to us for such bread today is to acknowledge our dependence on God for routine provision. And in just a note by Jason, in a modern Western culture where the provision of food is usually planned and assured for a good time ahead, such immediate dependence seems remote from our experience. Now, in many other parts of the world today, as in Jesus' world, it is not so. And Jason, I reckon you mentioned Carson. Is that D.A. Carson, the theologian? He's got the same name as me, brother. Donald. He says, the precarious lifestyle of many first century workers who were paid one day at a time and for whom a few days' illness could spell tragedy. Similarly for Jesus and his disciples during their itinerant ministry mission, the daily provision of material needs could not be taken for granted. We have to think a little bit about when the verses were written and what was happening to the Christians at that particular time. You know, the Christians in the early years were absolutely persecuted. And quite a number of them were on the run. Quite a number of them had to hide. So this whole idea of daily bread takes on an absolutely new meaning. An absolutely new meaning. And their trust in God in being able to do that. And in Matthew 20 it says, Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Matthew chapter 10 verses 9 to 14 says, do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. My wife keeps telling me that all the time, you know. Brother, the work you're doing in the church, you're worthy of your support. And I said, my reward is on I, you know. And she said, what about today? And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or the city, shake the dust of your feet. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 40 to 42, he says, He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. The instruction really, and what Jason has picked up, is not to worry about material provision is highlighted in the following verses. And I'll read these verses from Matthew chapter 6. You're getting a lot of verses this morning, aren't you? Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33, it says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothes himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The underlying principle of this verse is not to worry about material provision, which seems equally remote from most Western experiences. So these needs have not necessarily been trustfully committed to God as this prayer requires. But a general reminder, Jesus himself had to depend on God for food rather than taking the matter into his own hands. When Jesus was led by the Spirit out to be tempted by Satan, you know, he had to fast and pray for 40 days. And it's interesting that when Satan tried to tempt Jesus, he tempted him really in his most vulnerable area. If he hadn't haven't had food for 40 days, 40 nights, then that was Jesus' most vulnerable area. And Satan really hasn't changed that tactic. He hasn't changed it. You know, all of us have areas of vulnerability. And you need to understand that. You know, God has this incredible plan. He has this incredible work for you to do in advancing his kingdom. But you just got to be careful of those areas that just keep taking you away from what God is calling you to do. And Satan hasn't changed his tactic. And I think Jesus, the response that Jesus says, well, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I don't know if you all got a Bible. I want to encourage you to read it. The second thing is, not only to read it, but what James says in his word is, you know, not only be listeners of the word, but is to be doers. You need to put into practice the truths that God is revealing to you from his word. It's really important. Don't go out of this building and leave the words here and not allow it to impact your actions out there in your daily life. What I might do, Jason, I'll jump now from the notes that you sent to me, and I'm going to try and look at maybe three things, and I won't spend long on them, is about what I think the Lord's Prayer is all about. And I think the bottom line for me about the Lord's Prayer, and I'm seeing it from the perspective of an Aboriginal person, but I'm also seeing it from the perspective of a Christian, is the Lord's Prayer is about a relationship. It's about a relationship. And you know why? The first words, it says, "Our Father." That's who he is. He is our Father. The Lord's Prayer is about a relationship. It's about our Father. So how do I protect my relationship as a child with my Father? And you're going to have to protect that dearly. And then the other part of the relationship is my relationship with those around me. How do I protect that relationship with those around me? And if I have the opportunity to be able to help and support those around me, then I should be able to do that in whatever way that may be. And sometimes we struggle with that because the question is always asked, well, how can I do that? And if you ask this one, you ask that one, you ask this one, they've got all different ideas of how you might be able to do that. So we need to go back to our Father. Well, Father, what do you think? Because his will needs to be done in our lives. So the first thing I want to say about the Lord's Prayer, it is a prayer for the things necessary for our daily existence. When we read the words daily bread, they seem to imply only physical needs. However, I would consider that our existence also has much to do with our emotional and spiritual needs. And I'm always saying to people, you know, if you don't look after your physical needs, they will affect your emotional and spiritual needs. If you don't look after your emotional needs, they will affect your physical and spiritual needs. And if you don't look after your spiritual needs, they will affect your physical and emotional needs. And there are many. You know, someone once said to me, well, you know, God's busy. What should I pray to him about? And I'm saying to him, pray to him about anything. However big it may seem, or however small it may seem, you must pray to God. The second thing, it is a prayer for everything we need for each day. I believe in this prayer we encourage not to worry about anything. That is, not to grieve over past failure or to be anxious over future things. But we are to take each day at a time to pray and trust God each day for the things we need for that day. You know, worry. Someone once says that we're not a group of believers who are warriors. We are a group of believers who are worriers. Too many things we allow to get in our lives to worry us. And these verses that God is talking about, he says, don't worry about those things. You know, today has enough problems of itself. Why would you even worry about tomorrow? Don't worry, tomorrow will come. And there's a verse in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 17 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the third thing is, it is a prayer for our natural being and is for the aim of improving our spiritual being. And Matthew Henry, one of the earlier theologians, said, our natural being is necessary to our spiritual well-being in this world. Some would disagree with the statement, but I think there is some truth in it. When I pay attention to my body to keep it healthy and in good shape, I will feel better and stronger. And when I feel better, I am able to get more in touch with God. I'm not saying that I need to eat a lot to make myself feel good and to build the muscles up to look like Superman. I think that is overdoing it, and it will only hinder our spiritual being. But if we are moderate in our eating and exercise and watch to see that we get plenty of sleep, etc., then we will be more alert and have more endurance to work on our spiritual life, to read and study the Bible and to pray and to witness. Before I just end with a ending comment, there was a guy by the name of D.L. Moody who was an American evangelist. And it says, the statement about D.L. Moody said he knew the secret of spiritual daily bread. And they wrote, a man can no more take a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough today to last him for the next 6 months. Nor can he inhale sufficient air into his lungs with one breath to sustain life for a week to come. We are permitted to draw upon God's store of grace from day to day as we need it. And I just want to end off maybe with this thought is, God connects us with each other. You know, and it's interesting that, and I do appreciate the members from the Aboriginal Berean Community Church. We also connect with the South Pacific Island churches, and we have some of those members that are here this morning to come and sit and have fellowship with the Unley Park Baptist Church. The big question for us now is, in God wanting to provide for us in relation to what God has, the call that God has made on our lives, I think it's a journey we have to travel together. But God is going to have to give us a lot of wisdom, and that God is going to have to help us be patient with one another. God, the bottom line is, I think God is, he's going to have to shift in our hearts that as he loves us and we experience his love, is that we have to extend that love out to one another. And there lies our greatest challenge. There lies our greatest challenge. Is, you know, there's a verse which says that, how will the world know that you are his disciples? By our love for one another. And may God grant us the wisdom and the wherewithal to be able to express that as an Aboriginal church, as a South Pacific Island church, and as a non-Aboriginal church, or whatever church it may be, may God grant us the wisdom and the wherewithal to be able to do that in this country of ours, so that through that, God is going to bring healing into this country. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the many things that you are teaching us as a church. Lord, and it is good. It is good to revisit those things within Scripture to continuously remind ourselves. And so, Father, I pray that you give us wisdom as a church in understanding what it means for us to say to you, give us our daily bread. But also, Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom in how we can look after each other. What are the ways that we can do that? What are the ways that we can reflect our love in the way that we look after one another? And so I ask and put this challenge before us all, Lord, and may we continuously seek you for wisdom and the wherewithal to be able to do this. And we ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.